Welcome back to the Book of Daniel. If you've heard of this book, there are a couple of stories that get told time and again. The fiery furnace and the lion's den. Those two are Sunday school classics, full of courage, integrity, and talking vegetables. Well, the VeggieTales version is anyway. But here in the real story, those events are a few chapters in. Chapter 1 is a humble beginning, which begs the question, where does character begin? Where do courage and integrity take root? Chapter 1 opens quite dramatically in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. The year is around 605 BC. God's people in Israel are under siege from one of history's most powerful empires, Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was conquering the known world, destroying anyone who couldn't say Nebuchadnezzar five times fast. Not really, but he did lay siege to Israel and carried away the treasures of God's temple. Now think about that, stealing God's treasures, and with them taking captive many of God's people, among them our heroes, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now picture the scene. Four boys, most likely in their teens, led across the vast desert between Jerusalem and Babylon, and many other Jews with them, led by soldiers of a distant land and foreign tongue, and there in the great caravan, the treasures of the temple of God, carried off by pagans, headed to a new home in the temples of worthless idols. How did this happen? How would God let this happen? But the truth is that God's treasures were long since gone. God's real treasures are the hearts of his people. And in Daniel's day, those hearts had been in the temples of idols for generations. Now our four heroes grew up with this. Their childhood was among a people who honored God with their words, yet their hearts were far away. Religious hypocrites, all of them. And they would have heard the prophecies of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the warnings from God. The people loved their idols, so they would be sent into exile to Babylon, the land of idols. And now it was happening, and as they entered the city gates, they would see a city known to be one of the greatest marvels of the ancient world. Babylon had won. But then, a twist of fate. King Nebuchadnezzar had a strategy. Rather than send all of his captives into slavery, why not make good use of the exceptional ones? So in verse 3, the king ordered one of his officials to bring in some of the best and brightest of Israel. His plan, to treat them well, put them in school for a bit of Babylonian indoctrination. And in verse 5, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. That's a key phrase there, enter the king's service. Our boys have a dilemma. Which king will they serve? They were raised with the knowledge that God is above every king, but they learned that from hypocrites. And now all the power is in the hands of this new king, and that king calls for their service. And maybe captivity isn't so bad, not for them anyway. They got food and wine from the king's table. That's the best in the land. But there is one little hiccup. The food from the king is not kosher. The Jews had food laws. Can't eat it. So what do you do? Now the Babylonians were determined to change the way these boys think. In verse 7, the chief official gave them new names, changed their Hebrew names to Babylonian ones, and the names have meaning. Daniel's name meant God is my judge. His new name, Belteshazzar, means Prince of Bel. Not the Prince of Bel Air, that's different. Bel was a Babylonian god. The new name was to tell Daniel that he had a new god, and his three friends with him. All three had names honoring the god of Israel, now given the names Shadrach, for the sun god Aku, Meshach, for the moon god, though not to be confused with Shaq O'Neal, and Abednego, after the god Nego. So every time they heard their names called, their captors were reminding them, "Your god lost. You serve other gods now. you serve our king. Which brings us back to the dilemma of the king's table. Our boys with new names have a decision to make. It seems like the whole world is turned against God, and their choice is one that we all make. Serve God, or just go along and serve the world like everyone else. And what's the big deal anyway? It's just food. Verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Verse 8 is small in terms of the Bible's grand story, and with all the upheaval in Israel and Babylon, it would seem rather insignificant. A teenage boy makes a decision about food. But this one decision is the turning point of the entire story. It is a resolution, a turning of the heart, resolved to do right by God. Forget the hypocrites, forget the heathens. Just do right by God. For others, maybe it was just food. But for Daniel, it was the direction of his heart. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And remember what Jesus said, those who are faithful with little will be faithful with much. Never underestimate the importance of a small ethical decision made by a youth. And Daniel would not be alone. His three friends joined him. Now the official in charge of the boys liked Daniel. God gave him favor. But he was afraid. The king would have my head. So Daniel proposed a deal in verse 12. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with the others. Watch Daniel's tact here. He doesn't argue with the unbelievers that God has set over him. He does right by God and in the sight of man. The official agreed to the test, and God showed himself faithful. After 10 days, they looked stronger and healthier than all the others. So the official gave them vegetables. But in verse 17, God gave them knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So 3 years of school passed by. The boys grew up, most likely never saw their families again. And after graduation, all the graduates were brought before the king. And in verse 19, he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So the young men begin work, political work, as advisors, wise men in the king's government. There will be much to learn from our heroes here about serving with integrity in a corrupt government, about serving God in an age of hypocrites and heathens, about the importance of wisdom and understanding among leaders. Daniel and his friends were smart but humble. So where does character begin? Where does integrity take root? In the furnace? In the lion's den? Or in the hearts of a few teenagers making a decision about something small to the world, but important to God? Read Daniel 1 and watch the end for one more lesson here in the final verse. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now this is subtle, but Cyrus was the future king of the next kingdom, Persia. In other words, our humble hero would outlive kings and outlast kingdoms.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.